Off Base Podcast.
This is last place, Joe. There's no shame in finishing last. Anyone who listens to my commentary on this podcast, do it at your own risk.
We can really express our true opinions about who we think sucks. Mr. Timothy Lamar Lincecum. That guy's a gas can. Terrible second half last year. Bad spring so far. I don't like him. I think he's overrated.
I don't have a lot of good data to back this up, but I'm going to say it. I think Matt Kemp's overrated.
You think Prince is a justified top 10 pick?
I don't like him. I think he's overrated.
I think Marmol's overrated.
I think Jacoby Ellsbury's overrated. I don't like Evan Longoria or David Wright. I think they're both overrated. I happen to think I have the best and brightest insights among the three of us.
And I finished in last place.
You got Scott Bodley here, the BOD. I work hard all day. Who's in the foot race? Adrian, Poppy, or Usain Bolt running back?
I thought Sean Markham was your secret love child.
You know, we really did it for the Bengals. After Tulo, it is a barren wasteland. You might as well draft Ernie Banks or Jeff Blauser.
Well, apparently we had a slight Twitter malfunction.
I don't really consider Cabrera first baseman. If you're playing him at first base, you're an idiot. Why would someone take Votto over Cano? It blows my mind. I'm just a champion all the time.
The Big Cat.
We are three knuckleheads sitting around doing a podcast on fantasy baseball.
It took it a little while for the secret to actually get out.
Every time Wally picks somebody up, it's gold. It could be, you know, my grandma, and all of a sudden she'd be hitting like 350.
Until I see Miguel Cabrera out there with an actual frying pan on his hand, then I'll change my mind. Matt Kemp's going to win the NL MVP. If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Sit back, enjoy the information, the knowledge.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are hot. We're fired up. This is the Off Base Podcast, and it's time to talk some fantasy baseball. This is episode 10, and this is Last Place Joe. I'm joined by the BOD.
Hi.
And the Big Cat.
Meow.
That's right. Like a depressing meow.
Dude, I've got a lot of energy stored up for later. So.
Why are you so depressed, Big Cat?
Don't worry about it.
Need some meow mix?
Is there a point in the season where I don't have to be called Last Place Joe anymore?
It's going to be coming up pretty soon if I keep pulling up the rear on this thing, man. It's killing me right now. I honestly think I'm going to get an ulcer from this league this year. My team is just so bad. So bad.
They're good.
No, really?
No. Yeah.
Well, let's start out. You can reach us, obviously, through iTunes. You can download the podcast, Off Base Podcast. Send your user emails to offbasepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @offbasepodcast. And you can find our league standings, read the league message board, check out everything that's happening at our league if you go to the link known as
tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague.
tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague. If you go there right now, like I am, you'll see kind of a shift in the standings. So let's start at the top because I want
to. I just wanted to see if Joe's going to. What, you're in seventh now, right? Instead of eighth?
I'm super excited about being in seventh.
So, not quite the sixth place you'd guaranteed, but.
It's happening, guys. My team is on the rise. Let's talk about the top of the league first. Bleacher Creatures takes the top spot this week. The new guy, the whole effing show, he's fallen down to the second place.
Who didn't see Bleacher Creature being a first? We all love this team coming into the.
Who were the two teams that we thought were maybe the least likely to be in first place coming out of the draft? It's these two teams, Bleacher Creature and Whole Effin' Show.
It just goes to show that we have so much knowledge that we can just predict the future.
Dude, I don't know my ass from my elbow anymore. I don't even know what to say.
So, obviously we're not qualified to say anything about anything, but putting that aside, let's compare these two teams, right? Because we've criticized both of them. Do you think they're both pretenders? Do you think they're both contenders? I'm talking about to win the league.
I don't know. I think they both have a couple holes, but I think that...
I think everybody does.
Yeah, I think they're... I don't know. They're competing right now, so what else can I say? I mean, I'm in 10th place in there at the top, so I'm not a guy who can say anything.
Well, Andrew took a little bit of heat, not from me, but from you guys, for drafting Jared Weaver so early. And
that was me.
Last night... Why don't you tell us, Scott, what happened?
I believe you pitched a no-hitter, and so I'm completely wrong on that. Jared Weaver's good. I mean, I thought he was good, but I didn't think he'd be Is Dom?
Don't throw me into that. I never thought Weaver was anything but good.
It was all me.
So he took him at like pick 29 or pick 30, I think. Weaver, 44.2 innings pitched, 45 Ks. The dude has 4 wins already, a 1.61 ERA, and a 0.78 whip.
4 wins for the Angels, who have, what, 6 total?
Yeah.
I mean, geez.
The guy is basically Mr. Reliable, and last night he throws a no-hitter. So at least for 1 week, we'll give props to Andrew. He's in first place. He's got Weaver rolling along. Upton homered last night. Andrew's team, I don't know. I still think my team's better. I think my team's better than every team in this league. But got to give him props. What about the whole Upton show? Have we started to see the fall back to reality for him? What do you guys think?
Well, I think that he started to come to reality a little bit, and then he just gave away Justin Verlander for a middle outfielder. So.
Well, he just got 35 home runs and 110 RBIs in a trade, so he might not be hurting.
You know, the strange thing about that trade, and we'll get to it too, he has Matt Kemp. He wanted to add a stud outfielder, and instead he added Jay Bruce.
So what? Now he has 2 good outfielders.
No, now he has 1 great outfielder and 1 mediocre outfielder.
I wouldn't call Matt Kemp mediocre.
All right. So Andrew's at the top. Effin' Show is in second place. Bastages, I mean, BOD, I think your team is still one of the best teams in the top half. You're down in fifth place. Cobra's in third. Vengeance is in fourth. Bastage is fifth. Wally's sixth. Now, let's talk about this team in seventh place for a minute.
Making a move up the rankings, I mean, for sure.
Tell us how the point totals for Wally Balls and you.
I have 48.5 points. Wally's got 53 points.
Do you think he will have an aneurysm if you are ahead of him in the standings?
If I pass him at any point in the entire year, I think he automatically gets a penalty. Just because it's ignominious to be behind me in the standings.
I'll attest to that.
Dude, I love my team. We've had a great week. We started 3 pitchers against the Nationals this week. Pitching's good. Lincecum's got it going again. I love where the Argyle Tar Heels are going. Stay tuned for the next 40 weeks of podcasts because you're going to get an update every week. But I'm feeling real good. And then to round out the top 10, right field's in 8, Surge's in 9, and then Savoy, you have 27 points.
Yep.
How do you get so many points? Like, what's your secret?
I really come in punting a lot of categories. That's really the key to that philosophy there.
I mean, all joking aside, what's your problem? What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, what's your issue, man?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I can do, to be quite honest. I mean, I keep looking. People go on message boards offering up guys. Justin Verlander, for example. I don't know. I didn't have anything that I could give away or anything of value to even go get him with, you know? So what was I going to do?
What has been the disappointing part of your team? Like
offense has been terrible.
It's the offense?
Yeah. My pitching's always bad, but I still feel like Cliff Lee comes back or whatever, I'm going to be okay. The offense, Robinson Cano is terrible. He might be the worst player to ever wear a uniform.
255 with 1 home run in the first month.
3 RBIs or 4 RBIs. From a guy that I was expecting to get at least 100 RBI from in the middle of the Yankee order. I mean, he's been brutal. I don't have Ellsbury, who was my second round pick.
You don't have Mike Morris?
I don't have Mike Morris. I mean, I'm short a lot of guys, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
Are you willing to trade Cano?
I would for decent value, but when people offered me, you know, to Clint offered, he wanted Cano and Cliff Lee for Pujols. Well, I can't give away both of those guys. That's retarded.
Would you trade Cano for Pujols?
Yes, I would trade Cano for Pujols straight up. But I would have done that the day after the draft as well.
Would you trade Cano for, let's say, someone has Michael Young and Matt Garza?
I would not trade him for Michael Young and Matt Garza.
Interesting.
Matt Garza is good, but he's, I don't know, it's not enough value.
Well, Cano.
No, at this point, all I can do, I cannot get any value for Cano. So to trade him is ridiculous for me at this point. All I'm going to do is take it in the shorts because, I mean, I'm going to get 2 crappy players for him, or he's going to sit up there and keep being crappy for me. That's worst case scenario.
So you have a 2 in 4 of the 5 offensive categories. You're the second worst team in the league in homers, RBIs, stolen bases, and average. The only thing you don't have a 2 in is runs, and you have a 5. So like you said, it looks like your problem is your offense, but then look at your team. You have a pretty good nucleus. Morris and Ellsbury are hurt. But you add those guys to Paul Konerko, Robinson Cano, Hunter Pence, David Ortiz. Like, you have a nucleus of offensive players that should be way better.
Well, I agree. And I keep telling myself, if I'm patient, that at some point they're going to start hitting. But we're a month in. It's long enough now that it's a little more than just a bad start. You know what I mean? I can't have an entire team a bad start.
It's still early. I made up like 12 points in the standings this week, so a lot can still happen.
Well, no, and I'm still close in most categories. I mean, I can make multiple point jumps in a single day in almost every category. My biggest problem is when you look at my roster, I'm lacking in stolen bases right now, and I don't know how I'm going to make those stolen bases up until when Ellsbury comes back. I'm going to be so far back it won't matter. And that's assuming he even steals. He didn't even attempt to steal before he got hurt. So I'm a little bit worried about that. And then on the pitching side, I'm way far back in wins. And I'm putting together a philosophy where I'm going to start streaming at least one pitcher a week. Just go straight matchups and try and stream a win once a week and see if I can get myself back in the wins category. And then on K's, I was super nervous for a little while, but the last two or three weeks, I've been averaging a K an inning, if not better. So I think I'm going to get myself back into that hunt in a little bit here too. So we'll see if I can do that, you know, make it so I'm not punting three categories. And then hopefully Robinson Cano can actually knock in, you know, two guys a week. Then I might have a chance to at least climb out of the cellar.
Well, that's the good thing about this league. It's a season-long race. We've seen guys go from last to first in one season. You did it, BOD, when you won the league.
Yep.
Well, dude, I remember there was a season when Rock Chalk, this is way back, when Rock Chalk won, he was last place at like the All-Star break, and he'd been down there almost the whole season. And the second half, he had a meteoric climb all the way up to first, you know. And I don't think he even took first until the last week.
Yeah, the last week.
But, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm out of it completely, but there's definite holes that I've got to fill. And the first thing right now is that win category. If I can at least get myself back in the hunt in wins, so I'm not straight punting so many categories, then I can, you know, feel comfortable. Because I think I look at my pitching staff and I feel okay about it right now, especially once Cliff Lee comes back. But, I mean, there's still assumptions there. Jake Peavy's got to continue to be great. He's been amazing for me, but he's got to continue to be great. So there's still a lot of risk out there for me as well.
All right. Well, again, you can look at our league standings at tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague.
Tinyurl.com.
tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague.
Did we give out the Twitter?
@offbasepodcast.
@offbasepodcast.
Do you think we could start a thing with Twitter where you don't have to say @? If you're going to follow us on Twitter, you should know it's just @offbasepodcast. So you know that you should put the @ sign, right?
I would think so, but.
That's annoying. Think about the time you could save if you didn't have to.
It's like not having to say www before your web address anymore.
Yeah, it's like, that's why I don't wear Doc Martens, because it's such an effort to take off my Doc Martin boots.
All right, we're going to start with a segment today called Best Pitcher in Baseball. And the reason we're talking about this is because the BOD just pulled off one of the most ridiculous trades in league history.
Oh.
I don't know if any of our listeners have ever heard of this pitcher for the Tigers. His name is Justin Verlander. Some people have heard of him.
The best is that whenever Bodley rapes somebody in a trade like this, he spends the next 3 days being like, oh man, I really took it in the shorts when I gave away Clint Barmas for Sandy Koufax.
And he does this.
I can't believe it happened.
It usually involves a trade for Albert Pujols, and it probably still will.
By the way, Sandy Koufax didn't play with Clint Barmas.
Unbelievable. So why don't you tell him the trade? Because we're going to talk about who's the best pitcher in baseball, but why don't you tell him what the trade was?
The trade was Justin Verlander and Melky Cabrera.
Who was a top 50 player last year?
Well, you wouldn't touch Melky Cabrera with a 10-foot pole.
You know what? I would touch him before I touch freaking Jay Bruce.
All right, four.
Let's get that on the on the cut. Verlander, Melky Cabrera for Jay Bruce and Brett Myers.
Unbelievable. So we're talking about who's the best pitcher in baseball. I wrote down some names of some guys you'd think of, and then some guys who have stats that are putting them at the top of the standings. I'm just going to throw out some names. There's others too. Kershaw, Verlander, Strasburg, Lincecum, Halliday, Cueto, Anthony Bass.
Anthony Bass.
Ryan Dempster, Matt Garza. You know, there's guys who have stats that say they're the best, and then there's guys that have done it year over year.
And then there's guys with long hair.
And then there's Timmy. Verlander's the best, right? Who are you going to argue is better than Verlander?
Until this trade happens, first off, any trade that happens, the most recent trade is the worst trade in the league history. Doesn't matter who it is, it's the worst trade in the league history. Number two, even yesterday, you were saying that Kershaw's better. Now, suddenly, Verlander's better because this trade happened?
Okay, come on, Verlander guys. Is maybe not, as of right now, the best pitcher in baseball, but...
He's a good pitcher.
Dude, he's top three. You can't name three guys better than him. Period.
How about...
Kershaw. Okay.
Roy Halladay?
Nope. Got his ass lit.
Okay.
So the top of the rankings right now have Jared Weaver as the best pitcher overall, followed by Lance Lynn and Jake Peavy, who, you know, obviously shouldn't be in the discussion, but have had great starts. And then you have Verlander and Strasburg right there. You also have Matt Cain and Felix.
Yeah, there's a lot of passage pitchers on that list.
And you just added Verlander. I mean, this is unbelievable to me.
For your second best outfielder, nonetheless. No matter how much you like Jay Bruce, he's a number two outfielder for most teams. And he was your number two outfielder without a doubt. So you just added Justin Verlander, who is a top five starting pitcher. Even downplaying how crappy he is in your mind. So he's a top five starting pitcher, and you got him for your second outfielder.
So what does this tell us? It tells me one thing, that offense is pretty damn valuable. Right? No one has any offense right now. So the fact that I can trade Jay Bruce, who's going to hit 35 bombs and 110 RBIs, for Justin Verlander, I'm sorry that I have all the offense.
Yeah, you know, I'll bet you lunch right now he doesn't hit 35 bombs.
I'll bet you he will hit 35 bombs.
All right, he hit 32 last year.
Okay, put it on the ledger.
Put it on the ledger.
He hit 32 last year, but you know what else he hit? 256. Oh, you just traded for Justin Verlander, an outfielder who hit 256.
Carlos Pena. Congratulations. What's the difference?
What's the difference?
Both hit a ton of bombs and get one hit every freaking 10 at bats.
60 points in average? Jay Bruce is going to get 10 steals.
He's hitting 298 now.
So you got Carlos Pena and 10 steals.
There's no way Jay Bruce hits over 280 this year. So he got a guy that's going to hit in the 270s.
See, let's say he hits 275, which is an average. That's a little different than Carlos Pena hitting 210 every year.
And a little different than a Cy Young winner!
He's also getting a closer. And here's the point.
That closer is Brett Myers for the Houston Astros. If they get 30 wins, he better save every freaking win they get.
Yeah, you put closer in air quotes because he's a closer in what sense?
And this goes back to my whole point. There's not a lot of offense out there. So if you can get a guy who can hit 33 bombs, 35, you got to
I'm not saying
for
that
it.
That's not a lot of bombs,
but that's my point.
He's not going to hit 35.
You can get
and he's going to hit 250
for a good offensive player. There's not a lot of offense out there.
I love how he's trying to defend the trade, even though he just absolutely stole Justin Verlander. If it was even anybody else, if it was like Sabathia, even if it was Jared Weaver, who is sensational right now, but he was drafted at, you know, pick 30 or something. You just sold. It's the Cy Young winner. Look, compare him to
Kershaw.
It's
the MVP.
Compare him to Kershaw.
Even if this deal wasn't happening, I'd still be defending Bruce because you guys.
I know you
loved him
because he's good, and you guys don't see it.
He's good. He's not great. That's it. You try to make him out like he's a top tier outfielder. He's not.
He's a number two outfielder. I understand that.
He's a number two outfielder.
I totally understand that.
He's a number two outfielder. Justin Verlander's a number one pitcher.
By the way, let's settle this up.
If he's not a number two outfielder, then how many top outfielders are there? Eight?
Dude.
Ten. Every team has a number one. Every team has a number two.
Name 10 outfielders better than Jay Bruce.
Dude, you go Cargo. Cargo. Upton. Bring it up.
Let's do it.
I'm serious.
Cargo, Upton, Kemp,
Ethier, Hamilton, Beltran, Adam Jones, Ryan Braun, Curtis Granderson.
How many of those names are better than Bruce?
A lot. Five? There's a couple that I take off.
They
the
all
list,
are. Jeez. Look at them. Here's
Beltran?
Here's the top ranks right now. Kemp, Hamilton, Cargo, Beltran, Adam Jones, Ryan Braun, Curtis Granderson. Then comes in Jay Bruce at, what is that, number nine?
Okay, first off, Adam Jones, Carlos Beltran are not better
Adam,
than Jay
I
Bruce.
Would rather have Adam Jones.
Okay.
Well. Without any question in my mind. He's going to steal more bases, he's going to hit for more average, and he's going to give up, what, maybe five
bombs? You know
whose
name I didn't
maybe?
Say?
He's going to hit 25!
I didn't say Matt Holliday. I didn't say Justin Upton. I didn't say Corey Hart. Those guys, Desmond Jennings, these guys are all better than Jay Bruce.
So you honestly think Desmond Jennings and Corey Hart are better than Jay Bruce?
I would rather have them.
What's the difference between Corey Hart and Jay Bruce?
I just wish you guys
The difference between Corey Hart and Jay Bruce?
Well, Corey Hart hits 250 just like Jay Bruce.
270, 280 every year.
He's hitting 280 right now and he has six bombs, while Jay Bruce has seven
the
bombs.
Only, the difference is going to be 10 or 15 RBIs. That's the only difference between those two. Between those two.
So explain to me, why is Jay Bruce ranked 20th, and where's Corey Hart on the list? 56? So there's obviously a difference here, guys.
No. If you're ranking outfielders, Corey Hart is 20th, and Jay Bruce is 9th. The point is...
Can you tell me there's not a difference? There's obviously a difference here.
The point is Jay Bruce a number one outfielder? Questionably. Because if every team has... If there's 10 teams, and every team has a number one, he's questionably in the top 10 or not. He's probably a top-tier second outfielder.
So you guys consider Adam Jones a number one outfielder?
Yeah.
You guys consider Corey Hart a number one outfielder?
I would put Hart in the same range as Bruce, which is like right there.
I would put them both.
You think Carlos Beltran's number one outfielder? Come on.
Not necessarily.
I would say all those guys are number two
outfielders. But I would put Upton there. I would put Upton there. Upton's a number one. And
you wouldn't put Upton there?
I would.
I'd say Holiday also is a number one.
I would much rather have Bruce than Holiday.
I don't know about that.
Either. I don't know about that either.
They're closer
you
than these other
guys. You have Bruce is going to have more bombs than Matt Holiday.
He's not hitting
more RBIs.
He's hitting 250, and that's because he struggled at the start of the year. But year over year, yeah.
So do those stats not count in the year?
I'm just saying, year over year, yeah, I take Holiday as a number one. I take Jay Bruce as a number two.
Year over year, here's a good question. Who was ranked higher last year, season overall? Holiday or Bruce?
I don't know. Look it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
Bottom line, you traded a questionable number one, probably not a number one outfielder, for Justin Verlander.
Yeah, and like I said, offense, you can get a lot of stuff for offense.
Evidently.
By the way, Jay Bruce is ranked 59th last year. Matt Holliday was 78.
So they're the same?
So that's 20 players different. Just saying.
Neither one's worth
Justin. When are you guys going to realize, Verlander. Even though Jay Bruce hit 256 last year, he was the 59th player overall. And he's, what, 23? So he can't improve at all. He can't improve. His average is going to go down.
Improved between.
He's done. He's washed up.
All I'm saying, there's plenty of guys that have pretty comparable stats to him. Plus a little bit better.
On this list of outfielders, if we're looking at top outfielders, which of these would you trade for Justin Verlander? That's the real question. Kemp? Yes. Hamilton? Probably. Cargo? Yes.
You would trade Matt Kemp for Justin Verlander?
I'm saying a fair trade. If you're calling it a fair trade.
That's not a fair trade.
Well,
dude, no one's going to trade Kemp for anything.
Obviously, in that case, Kemp is worth more. I'm saying, which outfielder is worth at least Justin Verlander, right? Kemp, yes. Braun, yes. Hamilton, yes. Cargo, yes. Upton, maybe.
Upton's worth it?
Not right now.
He was he was taking 10 spots before him.
I understand that. But you're just the one who said these stats count, and right now Upton hasn't been as good as Verlander.
Okay, well, in that case, then I should have got more for Bruce, because Bruce is ranked higher than Verlander. And the other thing, too.
So even though
Brett Meyer sucks, he's still a closer. And look how crazy this league is with closers.
He is a closer, but I'm just saying, there's not even going to be that many opportunities. It's not like the Astros are the 27 Yankees.
No, but he's not blowing up ERA and whiffs like...
For now, it's not like... I wouldn't sit down and say, oh man, Brett Myers is a sure thing. That's Mariano Rivera reincarnated right there.
So let's take draft picks. When was Verlander taken? 20th? 21st? Let's say 20th. And Bruce is taking 40th. Is the difference between those two players a closer?
You got Melky Cabrera as well, who's a top 50 player last year.
I freaking hate Melky Cabrera.
Melky Cabrera was ranked higher than Jay Bruce last year on the player rater.
You guys better come get him. He's the greatest player of all time. All
right, bottom line, you got a great deal.
I like Verlander.
There's no way you can argue you didn't get a great deal.
I got a great deal because I can afford
and I want to say
to give up offense.
And I want it on the record right now to finish this segment. Who do you think is the best pitcher in baseball? I'm talking about... Not right now, but by the end of the year, who goes
fantasy down? Wise or just pure stuff? What are we talking?
Fantasy wise, who's the best ace? Who's the best ace in baseball by the end of the year?
Right. Well, it's hard after we were just doing that no hitter not to think that he's because he's been amazing the last 2 years as well. So, I mean, he's pretty filthy. I don't know. I think Verlander's right there. Kershaw's probably. For my money, if I'm drafting a pitcher, I would take Kershaw number one.
I got to go Kershaw just barely above Verlander, only because he gets to pitch against in the National League against the pitcher, so he has to face 8 batters instead of 9.
It's funny to hear all the Verlander love suddenly.
Well, Verlander plays for the Tigers. That's why he has 4
suddenly.
Wins.
I love how it's suddenly. Like everyone was crapping on Justin Verlander until this trade. Nobody liked Verlander until this trade, and now we all love him. Before I could even pronounce his name before this trade, it was Verlander. And now now that he's come to my attention.
We've had previous discussions all week, and it's like, oh, Kershaw's the best by far. Yada, yada, yada. And all of a sudden, Verlander. Oh, well, Verlander's pretty close to
Kershaw. He is pretty close.
Those two aren't even the best. It's going to be Strasburg. No question.
In our draft, by the way, Halliday went 17th, then Kershaw went 18th, and Verlander went 19th. So it is that close. I would go Kershaw just because he doesn't have to face 9 hitters. But
Whatever. Styles. The West Health for sure.
Yeah, I know West helps, but bottom line, you got a guy who plays for Tigers that are going to win a lot of games, and he probably just stole the Cy Young winner.
I think he met Kate Upton.
He met her?
It's a commercial.
Dude, so let's go through real quick. Here's Bodley's top three starting pitchers. Verlander, Strasburg.
No, Strasburg and Verlander.
Verlander, Strasburg, Kane.
Unbelievable.
Those are three. Those are absolute number ones on anyone's team.
Should we go through other pitchers I have too?
The rest of them, who cares? I mean, they're great, whatever.
Garza.
You're going to run out of innings. Between you and Cobra, you're going to have 10,000 innings pitched by the All-Star break.
Well, you lost Jay Bruce, but you still have Cargo, Joey Votto.
It's too bad Cargo sucks so bad.
McCann and Teixeira. If Teixeira plays at all, your offense can hang around. I mean, dude, your pitching is so good.
But my pitching sucks. By the way, David Freese is good. Don't forget him.
We're only a month in, dude. Your pitching is going to dominate by far.
Gita.
All right, next segment. We're calling it Talking Baseball. Last week we talked about teams in first place that were surprising, teams in last place that were surprising. This week we're going in the middle. I'm going to give you guys four teams that are playing 500 exactly right now, and let's talk about which of these teams is going to recover and which is not. All these four teams are playing 500. Detroit, Philadelphia, Cincinnati, San Francisco.
Dude, I think you go Cincy and Detroit are the two teams that I see going above that line.
Why?
I think they're both pretty legit. I love the Tigers. I think the
Tigers are great.
But they don't have any pitching after Verlander.
What? Yes, they do.
Drew Smyly.
Dude, my boy Smiles.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they had to bring up Drew Smyly 1 month into the season.
And he's going to be smiling down on the rest of Detroit for the rest of the season.
They were good last year and they didn't have any pitching.
They'll be fine. Dude, that offense is good. They're going to be fine. That pitching is not that bad. I mean, they've got a couple pieces there. It's not amazing, but...
You like Doug Fista?
Fister's out for how long?
I mean, who do they have? Who's going to be fine? Tell me.
Dude, they've got Savannah Smiles. That's all they need.
I mean, we all agree their offense is good, and they play in the Central, which isn't that great.
The Central's terrible, by the way.
The White Sox are bad, and the Twins are bad. Indians are terrible.
I mean, they win that division just by default, don't they?
Probably, but they're playing 500 baseball.
Yeah, and what, they're in second in the division right now at 500?
It's a surprise.
Whereas the Red Sox are one game under 500, and they're 10 games back or something?
All right, the other one you said is the Reds.
Well, dude, I love the Reds.
They added Matt Latos, but he's been bad.
He'll be fine.
Johnny Cueto has been amazing. Homer Bailey gives up homers all day, every day.
My boyfriend Bronson Arroyo.
But they play in that ballpark and they mash. So I agree with you. I think, are they the best team in the Central?
I love the fact you're talking about how great the Reds are, but you won't even consider bringing up the fact that Jay Bruce plays for the Reds.
I mean,
but he's going to win the NL MVP.
Jay Bruce should be the eighth batter in that lineup.
Oh boy.
Look at all the mashers they have. Zach Cozart, Chris Heisey, Devin Mesoraco, Joey Votto. Brian Ludwig, Brandon Phillips. I mean, have I left anybody else out?
Dude, I think they're going to be in good shape. The biggest question for them is the back end of that bullpen behind Chapman, who, by the way, is absolutely ridiculous.
He's the best non-closer.
He's ridiculous.
Dude. Out of the pen that's out there.
He's better than 75% of the closers out there.
Okay, so what about Philly and San Francisco? They played in the NLCS, 2 years ago? Philly won a World Series. So these are teams that have just recently been on top. You're saying you don't think they can even play 500 ball?
The Phillies are batting Shane Victorino 3 right now. That's the guy they're looking to drive in all their runs. I mean, as a guy who owns two Phillies and is in dead last, let me tell you, the Phillies are not powerful.
Their offense...
But their pitching is so good, you'd think they would win games just by default.
I think it's the same thing with the Giants, because you know the Giants, they're hitting third? Melky Cabrera.
Well, call Jay Bruce's mom! She'll get tickets to that game.
The difference between those two teams.
Bruce's mom.
The difference between those two teams is that if Chase Utley and Ryan Howard ever resurface and become good, then Philly can get kind of a boost to that offense, whereas the Giants, they don't have any help in the works.
How good is that Philly's pitching staff? When you add Vance Worley to Hamels, Halliday, and Lee, that is ridiculous. Joe Blanton went out and spun a gem today.
And how long is Lee out?
He's throwing another bullpen tomorrow, and he should be back 2 days after that. So,
well, the other problem with the Giants, Pablo broke his hand yesterday, didn't he? Is he in for a month? Is it almost?
Sandoval broke his hand?
Yeah, he broke a bone in his left hammy bone. He's expected to miss 4 to 6.
Did he break it trying to grab a ham? Is that how?
Breaking a ham bone?
Did you say he broke a ham or he broke a hand?
So that's 2 third basemen for Benches that are out.
That's amazing.
Dude, that's brutal. The Longoria one, it's so funny.
Well, it's 3 because with Uke.
Yeah, with Uke was out too. Dude, with the Longoria thing is so funny to me because I've been kicking myself every day since Ellsbury got hurt for not taking Longoria. And now Longoria's out for just as long. So
yeah.
Those were the only 2 guys I was going to take. So I was destined to get kicked in the balls one way or the other.
You're right. That is 3 first basemen or third basemen, and not only third basemen, but
good third
baseman. Top tier third baseman. Uclis,
and third base is a tough spot
Longoria
to fill.
Longoria and Sandoval. Yeah, like he had the market cornered on third baseman, and now he has the DL cornered on third baseman.
That's incredible. The Longoria thing's got to be disappointing because he was playing super well. It looks like he was going to be a beast all season. And now he's out for 4 to 8 weeks. That's the thing is, it could be a month, which, you know, that doesn't help you, but it doesn't kill you. But if he's out 8 weeks, they're talking possible surgery, depending on how the rehab goes. I mean, it could be brutal.
Yeah, because even when he comes back, will he be in baseball condition? You know, he's not going to mash right away. I love it. I mean, where are the posts on the league message board? Vengeance normally just cries and cries all day long about his injuries.
Well, I think that he's probably taken enough on it that he's maybe easing up.
Come on, Vengeance, let's hear it. That's amazing.
I've been avoiding my DL post because I got 4 guys on the DL right now and it's killing me. But I just didn't want to get the label, so I've been avoiding it.
Nobody gives a hoot about other people's injuries in this.
Whatever. Game. Not only do they not give a hoot, they love it. Yeah. If I see someone else's guy get hurt, it's the best day.
All right, we're moving on to a segment we call Mythbusters. This is where we're talking.
Mythbusters.
Fantasy baseball myths, right? This could be a guy that is. People say he's good, he has the reputation for being good, and he's not. Or someone that's underrated, that, you know, historically is not considered good, but that, you know, I think Jay Bruce maybe falls into this category. You're saying he was ranked 59th last year? That's pretty good. In my mind, he's not a number 59 overall guy. So, we're talking Mythbusters. I think we've beat...
He's not someone you'd take in the 6th round?
He's not someone you'd trade for, let's say, Justin Verlander, for example.
That's a myth. That's a total myth. I can prove it right now.
We're going to start with one of your pitchers. Yovani Gallardo. Here's the myth.
That he's good?
Yovani Gallardo is a number 1 pitcher.
No.
Dude, I loved him. When he came up, I loved the dude. And I've been able to sit and watch year by year, and he is just, he's a number 2, a number 3 starter. I mean, he's decent, but he is not an ace. He is not going to carry your team at all.
If you look last year, he had a rough spot, but when he rights the ship, he's okay, but... I got to quit pitching that idiot.
It's one of those things, though. You see, every pitcher has a month or whatever where they have a rougher go. But it's not like you can know that ahead of time and you're going to sit him. And when he gets lit up, he goes bad, like real bad.
Oh,
here's the interesting thing about Gallardo. In 2008, he only played 4 games. So his career really starts in 2009. He had 200 Ks every year. So,
well, he strikes people out for sure.
He's one of those few guys that not only is he a K guy, he's a reliable K guy, because 200 Ks, I mean, that is valuable. There are very few guys that can drop 200
Ks. What's his career whip? I bet it's over
1.25. 1.31. And here's the thing. Here's his ERA for the past 3 seasons. 3.73, 3.84, last year 3.52. I mean, he's a full point behind the elite guys. Full point.
3.5 sounds great if we're talking 2008. But nowadays, if you're above 3, you're not elite. How many guys did I say before the season started? There was what?
Was it 30 guys?
There was a lot of starting pitchers that were under an ERA of 3 last year.
Well, and 3.50 is even a second tier. Like, if you have a starter that's rolling you a 3.25 ERA, at least it's not hurting you.
Right.
It's in the range of keeping you competitive. And then if he gives you 200 Ks like Gallardo does, you can live with that. But he's at 3.52 last year. His career ERA is 3.72. And here's his whip the last 3 years. 1.31, 1.37, 1.22, and then now this year 1.65. So the myth, I think, is that Gallardo's the number 1, and he was their number 1 before Greinke showed up. But
where's that Greinke love now? I know that you loved him going into the season.
How's he been? I honestly haven't even been following him very much.
He's been...
Nails.
He has not been nails.
Oh, Greinke's been striking out people like crazy.
His ERA is closer to 4 than 3.
Before we move on from Gallardo, like, the thing that keeps bringing me back to Gallardo and everybody else is he's either really bad or really good. So if he has a terrible start, there's never a game where he just gives up 2 earned. It's either he pitches a gem or he gives up crap. And so these crappy games get balanced out.
I know, because the thing is, it's not like you can pick those games out. It's not like you can even base it on matchups. He'll go out there against the Astros, and you're like, oh, this is a great matchup. And he will absolutely catch on fire.
But I think that if you look at Gardner's stats last year, he had a rough month, and then after that, he was pretty normal the rest of the way. So if you just – I just got to bench that idiot.
Oh, yeah, and you're going to – the problem is you think you know, but you're not going to.
I'll bench him, and if he gives – if I miss one great start, fine.
Right, and then you're going to throw him back in there, and whoosh, the lighter's going to go, and you're going to get lit up.
Big Cat, you're right. 3.94, 1.38 for Greinke. He does have 30 Ks in 29 innings.
But that comes from one game.
Okay, next one. Mythbuster. Albert Pujols is MVP quality in this 2012 season.
I don't think anyone thinks that right now. I think that's the biggest topic in baseball.
I'll tell you one person who does, Clint.
Well, no, dude, Clint's got the exact same philosophy as I do with Cano. If he's going to move him, he's got to get value. He can't just give him away at the perceived value right now. And I understand no one's going to pay that.
Everyone is making this analogy between Cano and Pujols, but it's a faulty analogy. Here's why. Cano has done it every year, and he's just going through a rough patch right now. Pujols has changed leagues, and I said this on multiple podcasts. He's going to the AL every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He's facing a pitcher that he's never faced before. And when he goes through the AL the first time, he's going to struggle. Maybe the second time and the third time around, he'll be fine. But by then, one-third or two-thirds of the season is over. So what's he going to give you? I'm not saying he's not fantasy-worthy. I'm not saying he's a scrub. But he's probably a lot closer to Jay Bruce than he is to Matt Kemp.
That's fine, but I'm telling you, what's Clint going to do? He's got to try and get MVP value out of his first-round pick, out of his top three pick.
I can't believe the offers you guys are giving, Clint. What did you say? Gio Gonzalez?
I didn't send it.
I sent him Votto for Pujols straight up. He was telling me that he got an offer for Prince and Gio.
Prince and Gio.
By the way, I think...
That was it? Prince and Gio straight up? You gotta do that deal.
By the way, I think he has MVP material in him. If the Angels turn it around, it's going to be because of Albert, and he's going to win the MVP.
Dude, make no mistake, Albert went over 100 at-bats last year without a home run. That's all he's done right now.
And he had 37 last year.
Right.
He could easily be fine.
What have you seen out of him so far this year that makes you think he's going to turn it around? Turn it around, I'm talking about 35 or 40 bombs.
It's not what I've seen from him this year as much as what I've seen from him every year previous to this. Even when he was hurt and banged up, he still put up pretty dang good numbers.
Yeah, because he's the best player that's ever played the game, or one of the top three, in my opinion. Willie Mays and Babe Ruth and then Albert Pujols, right? But at least for this 6 months, let's take this 6 month period of time. Even give him the second half of the year, but for this first half of the year, I've been saying it, and I'm right, and I want credit for it. I knew he would struggle because he's switching leagues.
So, what do you think his year numbers are going to be?
Well, right now it's May 3rd, and the guy has zero bombs. He's got 5 RBIs in over a month, and he's hitting .208.
How many RBIs?
So let me tell you what he's not going to do. He's not going to hit 300. He's not going to drive in 90 runs. And he's not going to hit 30 bombs. He probably won't hit 25. In fact,
you don't think he's going to drive in 90?
No, because
I will bet you
he's got 5, and there's already 1/6 of the season gone.
I'll take the 25 and 90 bet. Cardinals had 16 RBIs in the last week.
Again, it's the idea about Cano versus Pujols. A guy like Cargo can struggle and then get it sorted out. Or like we said earlier in this podcast, Matt Holliday scuttled a little bit to start, gets it figured out. Same for Cano. Cano's going to be fine. Is it going to be today? Is it going to be tomorrow? Whenever it is. But Albert...
Hopefully today.
I just don't understand why you don't think he can't figure out the pitching.
He can. He's Albert Pujols. Yeah. But I don't think the situation is set up for him to succeed right off the bat at the levels you're used to getting. And that's why I sent Clint, you know, a crappier offer than everybody else for Pujols.
I can't believe he didn't take the Prince Geo deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get any better value than that.
Even the Joey Votto deal, because... You know, there's very similar players if you look at them year over year. Albert's slightly better. But when you factor in Albert's changing leagues and he's struggling, why wouldn't you take Votto?
I don't know. Why would he turn that Gio deal down? He just doesn't think Gio Gonzalez is really as good. Is that what it is?
Well, I think he...
He's obviously not as good as he's pitched his first month, but...
I think he really, even though he says otherwise, he believes that Pujols will turn it around. So he wants to get good value for him.
You're telling me that's not good value? Dude, on draft day, that would have been great value.
Great value.
I don't know. Draft day. Never mind. I was going to start a Jaber's argument.
All right. Here's another one. Mythbusters. Heath Bell and Carlos Marmol. We're going to talk about both of them together. Are a fantasy asset.
Oh, heck no. COVID doesn't even start at
Doesn't start Keith Bell?
No.
Well, he's already said he's punting saves.
Well, still.
I know, so I'm just saying, why would he start him? What's the value? He knows he can't compete in saves. That's the only thing he can give him. Why would he start him? There's no reason. He's just got to find a way to trade him. And he's just sitting there holding him, waiting for the dude to maybe string together three good outings if that could happen this year.
So in our league, closers are worth gold. Would you guys want, here's the question, would you want Carlos Marmol or Heath Bell on your team or not on your team?
Marmol's
if he was on waivers, would you pick him up?
Marmol's a little bit different because the K rate's so good. And he was pretty brutal last year and never lost the job, which makes me think that leash is pretty damn long.
I think both won't be closers at the end of the year. There's no way.
Dude, I think the leash is really long on both of them. I think that the Marlins just paid a lot of money to get Heath Bell as their closer, and they may take the job away from him for a week or two, but I have a feeling he's going to get it right back, even if the other guy doesn't do anything wrong, just because that's the dude they're paying to be the closer. You don't pay $5 million a year or whatever he's getting to be a setup guy.
Yeah, but you don't pay $5 million a year or whatever he's getting to blow a save every
night.
Right,
and so I'm saying I could see him pulling him out for a week or two. And
but
say,
what if
okay,
he keeps blowing saves? That's what I'm saying.
Well, he can't keep blowing saves if he's not the closer for 2 weeks.
Okay, well, then he comes back and then he's blowing saves again. That's my point. He will not be the closer at the end of the year.
I think
this is simply that on the last day of the season, he's not the closer.
No, so you think that all he's got to do is just take, go on a little vacation up to Delaware and recuperate and come back and he's going to be fine.
I think he'll be fine. I think he gets more saves than anybody else on that Marlins staff. Whether he's the actual closer on the last day, I don't know.
Well, he's got
more saves than anybody
else
on the staff.
He's got 3 saves. In 7.2 innings, he has 5 Ks. But his ERA is 11.74, and his whip is 2.74. And by the way, Marmol has 8 strikeouts in 8 innings with a 5.19 and a 1.85. He's killing Wally.
He's brutal, there's no doubt.
I mean, you said keep him in there for Ks, but how long can you keep him in there when he's absolutely destroying you?
Well, it's true. And if he loses the closer's job, then it's a whole different story. But the K rate's enough that I think it makes him way more enticing than Heath Bell.
By the way, Marmol's line today, 0.0 innings pitched, 0 Ks, infinity ERA, infinity whip. Infinity whip! Suck it, Wally!
Wait, that
means is he didn't get an out. If you give up one hit and don't get an out, it's infinity.
I know what it means, and I love it. I love seeing INF, man. I love seeing it. All right, last one in the Mythbusters. Bryce Harper is fantasy worthy.
Well, I don't... Whatever. Yeah, sure.
Bastages?
He's got an impassioned opinion. Yes. He's worth it.
You picked him up. Why don't you tell us what you expect to get out of him?
No, hold on. Does he have any Jay Bruce in him? If he's got some Jay Bruce in him, he's fantasy worthy.
He's got some Jay Bruce in him, but look, I don't expect him to be as good as Jay Bruce. I mean, there's not a lot of people who can. Yeah, Brooks Robinson is pretty good. But he'll be fine. He's definitely worth having on a team. Third outfield, bench.
I see him as a fourth outfielder.
He has the potential to be great, right? So you got to try.
I think so. I mean, I just think it's a year early. I don't know if he's going to be amazing this year. He was hitting .250 in AAA.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
so there's not a lot of guys that's like, as they move up the rankings, their batting average climbs.
How many people pick up Bryce Harper and think, oh, this guy's going to save my team and he's going to be my number one outfielder?
Among serious fantasy players, probably not that many, but there's nothing to lose for you, right? He does have 5 hits in his first 13 at-bats, .385. Pretty good. No homers yet. When I watched him play over the weekend against the Dodgers, I thought it was pretty cool how he had Mizuno make his bat. They spray painted it silver, like metallic silver, so that it looks like an aluminum bat. So he stands up there, and to the pitcher, it almost seems like he's swinging a metal bat. I don't know. He's a very polarizing player. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy to hate that guy, root against that guy. And then there's a lot of people that are going to like him because he was number one. I can't think of too many other players that are like that.
The hype is so great, it's hard to see around it.
You see it a little bit with, like, maybe Derek Jeter. Polarizing players who you either love or you hate. Matt Kemp.
I don't know too many guys that hate Matt Kemp.
I hate Matt Kemp.
I don't think Jeter's polarizing the same way Harper is. Jeter's just polarizing because he plays for the Yankees. He's not...
Even people who hate Jeter respect him, though.
Yeah, it's like Kobe. I mean, you might hate him because he takes advantage of women. But you don't hate him because he's good at basketball.
Well, who do you root against in Major League Baseball? Because there aren't that many people you root against.
Whoever is not on my team.
I'm saying Harper has the ability to be that type of player that you actually boo him, you root against him. Barry Bonds.
A-Rod type. I say A-Rod's more.
A-Rod, yeah. Barry Bonds was like that.
I mean, the kid's 19. People need to cut him some slack.
He's a douche, though.
He's 19.
There's no doubt, but he's a douche.
Okay, but you know what? If your dad grew up with a flavor saver like his dad, you might be the same way.
Dude, I'm not saying that anything about whatever. He can be as big a douche as he wants as long as he plays baseball well. That's all I care about.
All right, we're moving on.
And not
on.
This season while he's on your team.
We're going to talk real quick about trade recaps for this week in the league. Bastards, DOD's been pretty active on the trade front. Before this debacle with Jay Bruce and Verlander, you pulled off another trade, which was maybe only slightly less outrageous.
See, look, what did I tell you? Whatever the most recent trade is, it's the worst trade ever.
You picked up Matt Garza and had to give up Alex Gordon?
Scott, what do you think, Big
Fan? I like Alex Gordon.
You think it's that bad of a deal?
I don't think it's that bad a deal. I don't love Matt Garza either, so honestly, he's a good K guy or whatever.
Who's got the better end of that deal?
I think it's a pretty even deal. I mean, I personally agree. I think I would have rather had Alex Gordon, but I'm also on a team that's got no offense. So
Alex Gordon's hitting .244. He has
right
four,
now.
He has four home runs.
Alex Gordon was dang good last year.
So it's not even so much a question of let's compare Gordon to Garza. Let's compare Garza to who you could have gotten for Garza.
But I don't know who you could get for Garza.
How does he work these deals where he ends up with amazing? I mean, Matt Garza's good.
Well, maybe you shouldn't offer Eric Hosmer and Jesus Montero for Albert. Number one, you want a deal done, offer something good.
Here's a bigger question is Bodley's just traded away two outfielders for two starting pitchers. Garza's a guy who, at this point, you probably don't even need. You probably wouldn't do that deal if you knew the Verlander deal was coming a couple days later.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I mean, is your offense going to be okay? You're so pitching heavy.
Well, the only reason why I kind of stopped and thought about the Verlander deal is because I'm losing Bruce, and I thought, well, what am I going to do with offense? And then I just thought, Teixeira hasn't done anything. And if he starts playing like Teixeira does, I think I'll be okay.
It was a great move. Matt Garza has 36 Ks in 33 innings, a 2.67 ERA, 0.89 whip. Here's a bunch of guys who are ranked behind Matt Garza. Brandon Beachy, Johnny Cueto, Clayton Kershaw, Cole Hamels, CJ Wilson, Madison Bumgarner. I mean, you have a legitimate...
I don't think Garza...
And Alex Gordon's just a throwaway player.
I don't think he's a throwaway.
He's fantasy worthy. He's a third outfielder.
Garza is not better than those guys that you just read off. He's had a good.
He's going to come back to the pack.
CJ Wilson's going to be better.
But my question
is, what could Cobra have gotten? Because that's where he is in the rankings. You can't argue with that. And so maybe some of these guys will come past him, but right now, that's where he's ranked, and he could have gotten way more, in my opinion, than just a third outfielder, Alex Gordon.
But what would you have given him?
He gave up like his fourth pitcher.
I would have given him Yoenis Cespedes. I would have given him.
I would rather have Gordon.
So would I.
I offered him Corey Hart.
Oh, my gosh. How could he turn down Babe Ruth?
I'm saying you wouldn't rather have Corey Hart than Alex Gordon?
Oh, well. No, I would rather Corey Hart, but I just keep thinking how you think that he's better than Jay Bruce. So.
All right, one more.
I didn't say he's better, but the gap is so small. The gap is smaller than your wiener. That's how small that gap is.
That's like the Cumberland Gap right there.
On the idea of trades, there's a trade that hasn't happened. We've hit on it a little bit, but Clint's trying to move Pujols. I mean, is he better off just holding on to Pujols?
Well, I think Clint's coming to that realization. If he's not taking Prince and Gio for him, what's he going to take? There's no deal out there that's going to trump that.
It's kind of like you essentially got to either just ride with it until he turns it around, or he's going to suck, and that's
right.
It's like Crawford last year.
I mean, all you're doing is trading low at this point. And, with the Crawford thing, you look back last year and said, oh, you kept saying, oh, I should have traded him. Dude, everyone expected him to get better. No one expected him to be that bad that long because he'd never been bad before.
But because of that, don't you think maybe he should think about trading him? Because if I would have got Granderson earlier, when you offered me Granderson for him in April, I might have won the league.
Maybe. But... What's the percentage of him and Cano? What are the percentage of them sucking the whole year or turning around and being what we've seen in the past from a certain point forward?
No, I agree. I think they're going to bounce back.
I mean, it's what? It's 80-20, maybe 90-10?
Here's the thing, too, with Clint. His team, he needs help. He's in the lower half. So if you can get a a bat that's reasonable like Prince and you get a good pitcher, that, might as well.
When you're getting two guys like that, it's a no-brainer to me. I mean, you're helping yourself in 9 out of 10 categories with that trade.
You guys know where I stand. I think he should move him and get whatever value he can get. Not that Albert's terrible. I'm not saying that. But if you're going to get Gio and Prince or a couple guys, at least one of them being a top 15 player, you got to do it.
The Gio Prince still boggles my mind because just Prince straight up would have been pretty fair. I mean, it's along the lines of your Votto deal, right? I mean,
I heard in Votto or tax form. But no.
All right, we're going to finish up this week's episode with a little bit of who you got.
Who you got?
Who you got?
So is that the official theme song now?
Who you got? Here's who you got.
Here's two Cardinals pitchers, number one and number two on the staff. Neither one are named Wainwright or Carpenter. Who you got, Lance Lynn or Kyle Loesch?
I like Lynn.
Lance Lynn.
I like Lynn better. I am nervous. Lynn's going to come back to the pack as well, though.
I have a bad taste in my mouth about Kyle Loesch, but every year he seems like he has a great start.
No, he does have a great start every year, but when it starts warming up a little bit and the ball starts moving a little bit more, you know, that sinker's going to start to fly out of the park a little bit more often than it is right now. I mean, he's always been like this the first month of the season, it seems like. And his K rate is what? That's the other thing. The K rate is killer.
Yeah, it's terrible.
No, he should be on your team.
My K rate is
Loesch has 21 Ks in 33 innings, and Lynn's got 30 in 33 innings. Pretty good. Here's another one. Wade Miley, Diamondbacks rookie, or Drew Smiley, Tigers rookie.
Smiley.
I'll take Smiley.
Tigers.
I'll take Miley. I'm a little bit of a D-backs homer. I like the NL West.
Okay. Dude, he's still out there on waiver wires right now in our league. Go get him.
There's a Miley Cyrus.
No, Surge has him. Surge picked him up.
Oh, he did?
Clint did, yeah. He's the real deal. The D-backs have a bunch of good young pitchers. Do you still have Bauer on your team?
No, I dropped him to pick up Bryce Harper.
Okay.
Dude, I love Smiley.
I mean, no.
I love Smiley. If you look at his K rate through the minors as well, I mean, he's pretty legit. We'll see. I'm not saying he's going to be what he is right now. He's going to come back to about 3.5, but.
I'm going to sign up for you, Argy.
Yeah.
Come up with a good Miley Cyrus joke involving this pitcher.
Okay.
All right.
Tune in next week. Here's another one. Pedro Alvarez, Pirates, or Chris Davis, Orioles.
I think Chris Davis has found his groove. Took him a few years, but I think he's not going to be great, but he'll be better than Pedro Alvarez.
Who has a higher average, Chris Davis or Jay Bruce?
This is the weird thing. Chris Davis is notoriously bad, and he's hitting .316, right, with 5 bombs. You might have seen the 5 bombs coming, but...
He's hitting .316 through what, 100 at-bats?
79 at-bats.
I have a feeling it's going to come down. Call me crazy.
Pedro Alvarez is... I know I say this a lot, that people are overrated, but he's literally the definition of overrated because he's been talked about and hyped up for so long.
I don't think he's overrated anymore.
He's got 6 homers this year, but he's only hitting .242. I've given up on him a long time ago.
I think he's underrated.
I think he's underrated at this point,
because people hate him.
Yeah, I think he's not on anyone's radar, really. He hasn't been added yet in our league.
If you picked him up off waivers, would you play him?
You're right. Who's going to play him right now? But I'm saying he's Alex Gordon, who came up and was supposed to be the next, you know, George Brett, and was crabby for a couple of years, and everyone wrote him off and said, "Oh, this guy, never mind, he's garbage." And then all of a sudden, last year came along, and Alex Gordon was pretty dang good.
Listen, now, if you can catch the tail of a comet with Pedro Alvarez, good for you. I mean, the guy hit .256 in 2010, .191. Last year, and he's hitting .242 this year.
No.
The guy can't even hit .250.
The power's legit, though.
Yeah, that's and what he is.
Here's the thing.
He's a
if
power
a guy,
guy
hits 35 bombs and 110 RBIs,
so who you
he's,
got?
He is a number one outfielder.
Who you got, Pedro Alvarez or Justin Verlander?
Now, a couple of Alvarez thoughts. I know you guys don't like to look at recent stats, Big Cat.
Well,
I'm 59 in the last 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks? That's what?
I know, but...
20 at-bats?
But my point is this. He could be finding his group. He was the first player taken like 3 years ago.
Dude, check this out. Today,
so
today he went 4-for-4. Can you believe it? He's batting 1,000. He could be the next Babe Ruth.
I'm just saying that the
sample size that you're giving me is about the same as a single game sample size.
What did you just say about Alex Gordon? That he came out of nowhere and no one expected it? Well, I'm just saying Pedro Alvarez might be heading down that road right now. And so you're gonna wait 2 months until he's already got all those stats to pick him up?
Go get him.
I'm playing guys.
Nobody loves 250 more than you.
Well, I like 360.
A lot of opinions from the bottom of the standings here, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Last one. There's two guys that are on waivers. They were supposed to be stolen base guys, fantasy worthy at least. Now they're not on anybody's team. Peter Burgos and Cameron Maven. I'm especially surprised that Maven's not even on a roster. Who you got?
Didn't you like Maven more than Bruce? Wasn't that arguing
yeah,
yet?
Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Well, that just...
Maven is now hitting 200.
You're not getting Maven.
He does have 8 bags, but he's got one bomb and he's hitting 200. Who you got? Burgos or Maven?
Neither.
Yeah. That's the reason they're both on the waiver wire.
You gotta be Maven. It's gotta be Maven because is Burgos even gonna get playing time?
He's been playing, but he has one stolen base and he's hitting 180. And they just brought up
Trout,
a little man named Mr. Trout.
Yeah, it's going to hurt him.
So
I mean, they're already struggling. Don't ask me how. Their offense is terrible, but they're struggling to find regular bats for Trumbo as it is. And now they got Trout up there. I think, you know, if anyone's going to get squeezed out, it's going to be him.
Well, and Trout can run, which is what Burgess does, so why play him? You know what I mean?
Yep. All right, gentlemen, that is it for this week's episode. 10 episodes are in the books.
Can you believe it?
If you've hung around this long, make sure you check us out on iTunes. Make sure you check us out on Twitter. The BOD is pretty active with our Twitter account. Get us at Off Base Podcast, and you can find our league standings, tinyurl.com/Off Base Podcast League. Any parting shots, boys?
Jay Bruce, 2012 NL MVP. That's my bold prediction.
I love you, Timmy.